From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Gen continues its Year of Darwin celebration with an interview with Dr. Benoit Bruneau from the Gladstone Institute of Cardiovascular Disease about the discovery of the first genetic link between reptile and human heart evolution and what this might mean for the study of congenital heart disease in humans.
I'm John Sterling, Editor-in-Chief of Gen. Welcome to this ninth installment of our special series of podcasts devoted to our celebration of the Year of Darwin. Dr. Benoit Bruneau is an associate investigator at the Gladstone Institute of Cardiovascular Disease. He's also associate professor of pediatrics at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Bruneau's research focuses on the transcriptional regulation of heart development and cardiac differentiation, and more recently, how chromatin remodeling factors are critically relevant to heart development. Dr. Bruneau, in the September 3rd issue of Nature, you and your colleagues reported that you have traced the evolution of the four-chambered human heart to a common genetic factor linked to the development of hearts in turtles and other reptiles. What was this genetic factor?
So the factor that we identified is a protein called TBX5. And it is what is referred to as a transcription factor. It's a protein that can turn on or off other genes. And so we refer to it as a sort of a master regulator of the heart because it's very important for turning on a lot of different heart genes. And in the case of this particular study, it's clearly very important for the morphogenesis of the heart.
How widespread is the TBX5 gene in the animal kingdom, and what does this suggest?
So the TBX5 gene itself is present in all vertebrates, so those are animals with spines, and actually it belongs to a very ancient family of genes called the T-box gene family. So the 5 in the TBX5 gene indicates that it's the fifth member of this family, and those genes are found in pretty much all metazoans, so any animal that is multicellular has a T-box gene. And so clearly these genes have been maintained throughout evolution in many regards, in many aspects, and are extremely important. And in the case of TBX5, it's known that it's important in the hearts and also in the limbs, it turns out, of pretty much all animals.
Yeah, let's develop that thought a little more. What is the importance of TBX5 in relation to both heart evolution and human disease?
So let's start with the last one, the human disease. So TBX5 was actually isolated as a disease gene in a rare syndrome called Holt-Oram syndrome. And so this is a syndrome that has two main features. One is limb defects, and the other, which is relevant to our study, is heart defect. And so people who have mutations in the TBX5 gene, in one copy of the TBX5 gene, have heart defects that are mostly defects of septation. So they have holes in their hearts. And so in thinking about the importance of TBX5 in heart evolution, we started looking at the expression of the TBX5 gene, its domain of activity in the heart. And we found that it was expressed in mammals, and so in mice and other mammals, as well as in birds, in a very peculiar pattern, which was that in the ventricles, which are the main pumping chambers of the heart, the activity of the TBX5 gene was found to be restricted to the left side, and the border of where there was or wasn't TBX5 activity was exactly where the septum, this muscular structure that separates the left and the right sides of the hearts, was to be formed. And so when we looked at the TBX5 gene in evolution, we found that its pattern of expression, its domain of activity, correlates perfectly well with how much degree of septation animals have. So in birds and mammals, it correlates very strictly with the left side of the heart. In frogs and in primitive lizards, it's expressed throughout the entire ventricular chamber, and these animals don't have a septum. But in turtles, which have a partial septum, it's expressed in sort of a gradient. It kind of has a fuzzy boundary. And so we think that the patterning of the TBX5 gene is a key evolutionary factor for the evolution of a three-chambered heart to a four-chambered heart.
From an evolutionary standpoint, why do reptiles occupy a critical point in heart evolution?
The reptiles are in many respects peculiar animals because they have many structures that appear to be sort of intermediates between, let's say, frogs, for example, and birds or mammals. And so in the case of the heart, reptiles offer a spectrum of evolution. And so some reptilian hearts, such as in lizards or in snakes, seem to have a single chamber that resembles the frog. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, crocodiles and alligators have a completely separated or septated heart that resembles the ones that we find in birds and in mammals. So in between, there's a range. And so the turtles are a nice sort of middle part in that they have a partially separated ventricular chamber. And so by looking at reptiles, we can look at a spectrum of structures and presumably a spectrum of regulatory events that may have evolved to go one way or the other.
Would you describe the experiment and provide some of the key details on what your team did to examine the role of TBX5 in the evolution of the heart?
We did a number of experiments that involved examining the expression of the TBX5 gene in reptiles and other species, and also after that to manipulate the TBX5 gene using genetic engineering in the mouse to be able to determine whether our hypotheses were correct or not. And so we use a technique called in situ hybridization where we can look at the mRNA in either a whole embryo or in sections of an embryo to determine the activity, the domain of activity of the TBX5 gene. And so we looked in the green anole lizard and in the red-eared slider turtle as well as in chickens and mice at the activity of the TBX5 gene, and we found that the pattern of activity of the gene correlated very nicely with the degree of septation in each species. And so from there, we decided, okay, well, these are just observations. We need to sort of design some experiments to be able to correlate functionally what we were observing. And so using genetic engineering in the mouse, using what's referred to as the CRELOX system, we were able to either delete TBX5 or expand its domain of expression in places where it normally isn't expressed. And so when we deleted TBX5 from the entire mouse ventricle, we found that we changed the mouse heart into a heart that looked like a frog heart. So instead of a four-chambered heart, we now had a three-chambered heart, so with a single ventricle and no septum separating the left and the right sides. So then the next question we asked was, okay, what happens if we shift the boundary of TBX5 expression away from where it normally is? So in other words, asking the question, is the domain of TBX5 expression important anywhere? So do we need this boundary anywhere in the heart to form a septum, or do we need it at this particular location? And when we shifted the boundary leftward, we found that, again, we didn't have a septum, saying that we needed this boundary of TBX5 at a precise location in the heart. So those experiments told us how important TBX5 was in forming the septum, and so it was clearly very important. And so the next experiment was designed to address the evolutionary link to reptiles. And so with a different manipulation, again using the CRELOX system, we were able to misexpress or express TBX5 in the wrong place in the heart to mimic in the mouse the pattern that we saw in the reptiles. And in doing so, again, we saw hearts that instead of their normal mammalian configuration of having four chambers and a septum separating the left and the right sides, we had hearts that either were completely frog-like or lizard-like in that they had a single ventricular chamber, or sort of looked a bit like the turtle heart in which the septation was abrogated. It was interrupted. It was more primitive in nature.
You were quoted as saying that your study provides exciting new insights into the evolution of the heart, which had not been examined in over 100 years. What do you hope to learn from these insights provided by this study?
There's a few things that I think our study brings that we didn't know about before. I mean, first is any genetic or molecular link to the evolution of the heart. So for the last 100 years, the evolution of the heart has sort of been a black box, and people have come up with different hypotheses about how this might happen. And so I think we've provided sort of the first step in really trying to understand how our heart has evolved. And I think that's an important piece of information to really understand how we became warm-blooded and how the heart of different species has evolved over millions and millions of years. So that's one aspect that I think is quite important. But the other aspect that I think is equally, if not more important, is that by looking backwards at evolution, we're now able to look forwards a lot better to try to understand congenital heart disease. So I mentioned that TBX5 mutations cause congenital heart defects that are more specifically defects in the septation of the heart. So now that we know how important TBX5 is, now we can really start hammering away at understanding what the molecular and the cellular events are that it regulates to form a septum in both the ventricles and also in the atria. And that by doing so, by expanding these studies, we can really gain a much deeper understanding into how congenital heart defects occur and hopefully find new cellular and molecular mechanisms that would be applicable to most, if not all, congenital heart defects.
And what research do you plan to pursue in the future to capitalize on what you've learned from the current study?
So one of the things I'd really like to do is to be able to understand the genetic regulation of the TBX5 gene and how that has evolved. So the one piece of information that's missing from this current paper, is the genetic elements that have evolved to enable the sharp restricted pattern of TBX5 in birds and mammals. And so I'd like to be able to compile genomic regions from several different reptiles and from birds and from mammals and try to be able to identify the regulatory elements that have evolved to control the TBX5 gene. And the difficulty there is that while there's assembled genomes for birds and several mammals, there aren't assembled genomes for any reptiles. And so we either have to wait for someone to do that, or we have to search through the currently available raw sequences and try to do that ourselves. So that's one thing I'd like to be able to do. And more immediately, I think we'll start looking at what happens at the formation of the interventricular septum using mouse models where we can either delete TBX5 or expand its expression and really look at a very precise cellular level to really try to understand the cellular changes that take place during the formation of the septum and which of those changes are regulated by TBX5.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.